Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And then we are, now it's the beginning of October, so we are resuming benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. The class on the Catholic faith will be held in the hall after Mass today. All are welcome to attend. Tomorrow, after the 8:30 a.m. Mass, there'll be the cleaning of the chapel. And this Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, so we will have our holy hour and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament beginning at 7 p.m. And then this week is the first Friday of the month, so there will be the Mass at 8:30 a.m., followed by a conference by Father Ward and the recitation of the Rosary. And our Father Superior said that he will be giving a special conference on the Holy Rosary because it is the feast of the Most Holy Rosary, Our Lady of the Rosary. So we encourage as many of you, if possible, to attend Mass that day, this Friday, the first Friday of the month. And if you can't attend, if it's impossible or difficult, then to try to watch the live stream of his conference on the Rosary. Then you saw that we are offering the 2023 liturgical calendar. So that's available in the vestibule for a $15 donation. I know most of you do this, but if you haven't gotten the connection app, website, whatever the details are, to watch our live stream of the daily Masses, Sunday Masses, and all the other content, to do that. And if you need help, especially if you're older like I am, you get someone younger, and they will help you. So we have several great feast days this week. Today is the feast of the Holy Guardian Angels, and we'll speak about that in a moment, that subject. Tomorrow, October 3rd, Feast of St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, and we know many of you have a devotion to her, so her image is the second one to the left of St. Rita here, so she's in the white mantle there, you see. And if you don't have a devotion to her, I encourage you to have one. Whether you are a man or woman or boy or girl, because she is a great saint. You know who I'm quoting? Pope St. Pius X, another popes and religious leaders in the Catholic Church, greatest saint of modern times. Because she has an appeal to everyone. And you think, well, why would a sister in a convent in the late 1800s, early 1900s, really late 1800s, why would she have an appeal to Catholics, especially of the 20th and 21st century? That's because God wanted her to have that appeal. I had heard of her. We maybe had a picture of her at home. I knew really nothing about her. I knew nothing about the Carmelite order. But I mentioned this in the past. Because others ahead of me had a devotion, and that person ahead of me in the seminary was Father Simons. So it was right around this time, 45 years ago, and he says, "Why don't you read this book?" It was the autobiography of St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, the book that she wrote because she was ordered to by her mother superior to tell the world about her life. And I thought, okay, I'll read it. And it changed everything for me because she was my special patron and protector in the first couple of years of my studies, my life in the religious life in the seminary. She helped me to persevere because that's what she had to do. She had to overcome great obstacles to fulfill her vocation because she was denied. She was denied entrance. So when she was about 15, her father took her to Rome to see the shrines and churches, and she was inspired to see one of the clergy of Rome, namely Pope Leo XIII. It's very bold. But back then, people had access to the Pope. And she put before the Pope her complaint, meaning that I'm being denied entrance in religious life because I'm underage. Well, it all worked out because she was allowed to enter, and it changed really the course of her life, but the course of millions of souls in the Catholic Church, especially soldiers in both sides of the war in World War I. Hundreds of thousands of Catholic soldiers on both sides had devotion to Little Flower, and they were protected by her intercession. So we encourage you to pray to her. Tuesday, October 4th, St. Francis of Assisi. Wednesday, the 5th, St. Placid and his companions. Thursday, St. Bruno. And as we said this Friday, Feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, we will not say anything except a few brief words because we know that a lot of you will not be able to attend on this Friday. And then Saturday is the Feast of St. Bridget. But just a couple remarks about the Rosary. We cannot tell you how important it is to say the Holy Rosary, to say it daily. Virtually everybody here knows that. You may have grown up with saying the Rosary, and that's a beautiful thing. But to cherish the devotion, to be attached to it, to love it, so that your day is not complete without saying the Holy Rosary. It is by God's providence that he gave the devotion through the intercession of Blessed Virgin Mary to the Church. And I'm going to have to hold myself back because I'd love to speak about more, but I'm not going to steal Father Ward's thunder on the Holy Rosary. We will just say this one point, though, because through St. Dominic, this rosary was brought to the Church, but his disciple, his fellow Dominican, whom I'm named after, Blessed Alan de la Roche, was converted in his life by the rosary. And it is a way that everyone is converted to God. It is the way to give up a sinful life. It is the way to perfection. It is the way Catholics take the graces from the sacraments, from the Holy Eucharist, and take it with them into the world to protect it every day till the next time you assist at Mass. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "David's." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool?' If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are going to speak briefly about the Epistle and Gospel because not only do we want to talk about at length Holy Guardian Angels, but we want to speak about a topic that's very important. It's the central part of our Catholic faith in many ways, and we want to say that in a moment. When I was going back to being in the seminary, our Father Superior said to the seminarians, so there was Father Violette, Father Simons, Father McMahon, and about three or four other seminarians. He said, "Okay, we're going to practice preaching." He said, "And also you, Brother Allen, you're going to also do that." Well, I'd just been in seminary for about 6 weeks, so this was overwhelming. Well, it turns out this Sunday, this gospel is what I spoke about. And I recall some of the points I made. But here is what St. Paul is saying. It's so plain before us, but often we forget how important it is because of the world we live in of division, of pride, of anger, unjust anger. Because he says, We are to walk in a manner, meaning be on this earth, be among our family, friends in the world, with patience, forbearance, humility, meekness. Why are we to do that? Well, first of all, God commands us to. But second, we are meant to be an example for all those people that don't know how to do this or don't want to or hate us or hate what we believe. I remember in the 60s, all the riots in all the major cities of our country, all fomented to cause disturbance in the society. It was the spring of 1970. I'm walking home from school, Divine Redeemer Catholic School. I'm walking home, April of that year. And there are snipers on top of military buildings right near Memorial Hospital Central there. It was frightening to see that because they were ready to shoot. They were afraid of riots a few blocks from my house. And yet, it is far worse today, as you know, among families, but especially in the workplace or in society. People are attacked. People are shot at randomly. Why is that? Because God is permitting Lucifer and the devils and their human agents, Satanists, and hatreds of God, to do that. But remember, this is not anything new. Christians have suffered and been chased and attacked for what they believe since the beginning. The apostles themselves were hunted down. Our Lord himself was. They arrested him while he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he tells us to bear with one another in love, to preserve the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. And then he says the word one, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Not many gods. There's only one Catholic faith. There's only one religion. There's only one religion, by the way. Pagans and others who do not practice the true, traditional, authentic Catholic faith, they are not part of the one faith. They do not believe in the one God and three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they are on the road to perdition, to destruction. And the way we preserve it, that unity, that oneness in our lives, is by following what our Lord says in the gospel. To have the love of thy God with thy whole heart, not part of your heart. I'll love God on Sundays. I'll tell him I love him on Sundays, and maybe if I say the rosary, he'll say that. But then I love other things. I love money. I love material things. I love my friends. I love sports. I love to be smart. I love attention. I love myself. That's the way, the road to destruction. That's not what Christ says. Because when we love our Lord with everything in our power and soul, our entire body and soul, and it's completely dedicated to Christ, then everything flows from that. Then we know how to love our neighbor and perform our daily spiritual and material duties. Then we know what to do. Does that mean we don't love our neighbor? No, of course not. But love of neighbor is indirect love of God. So we love God directly by loving him for himself. And we love God indirectly by loving our neighbor as God wants us to. I don't know if you've heard about direct and indirect love. We heard that from a conference our Father Superior gave. So we are quoting him. So that is the brief explanation of today's epistle and gospel. Now, before we talk about the guardian angels, we know that most of you were unable to come to the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross on September 14th. And we understand that. People have obligations, schedules, work, school, whatever it is. And we had the Mass that day, and we thought, for those who are unable to come and hear the words, we'd read briefly another excerpt from The Imitation of Christ, Thomas a Kempis. So this is from Book 2, Chapter 12 of The Imitation of Christ. And the title of the chapter is called The Royal Way of the Cross. So we will read it, excerpts from it. So when we read, that is not the time to be, okay, Father's reading now, so I don't have to pay attention as much. He's not as personal. On the contrary, we want you to listen in every detail. Because this book, Imitation of Christ, second only to the Holy Bible, is the way to heaven. St. Teresa of the Child Jesus, it is said, had it memorized. Is that possible? I think so. To many this seems a hard saying, deny thyself, take up thy cross, and follow Jesus. But it will be much harder to hear that last word, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. For they who now willingly hear and follow the word of the cross shall not then be afraid of eternal condemnation. This sign of the cross will be in heaven when the Lord shall come to judge. Then all the servants of the cross, who in their lifetime have conformed themselves to the crucified, shall come to Christ their judge with great confidence. Why then art thou afraid to take up thy cross, which leads to a kingdom? In the cross is salvation. In the cross is life. In the cross is protection from thy enemies. In the cross is infusion of heavenly sweetness. In the cross is strength of mind. In the cross is joy of spirit. In the cross is the height of virtue. In the cross is the perfection of sanctity. There is no health of soul nor hope of eternal life but in the cross. Take up, therefore, thy cross and follow Jesus, and thou shalt go into life everlasting. Behold the cross as all, and in dying to thyself all consists, and there's no other way to life and to true internal peace but the holy way of the cross and of daily mortification. Go where thou wilt, seek what thou wilt, and thou shalt find no higher way above, nor a safer way below than the way of the holy cross. Sometimes thou shalt be left by God, other times thou shalt be afflicted by thy neighbor. And what is more, thou shalt often be a trouble to thyself. Neither can thou be delivered or eased by any remedy or comfort, but as long as it shall please God, God must bear it. For God, who have thee learned to suffer tribulation without comfort, and wholly to submit thyself to him, and to become more humble by tribulation. The cross, therefore, is always ready and everywhere waits for thee. If thou carry thy cross willingly, it will carry thee and bring thee to thy desired end, namely to that place where there will be an end of suffering, though here there will be no end. If thou fling away one cross, without doubt thou shalt find another, perhaps a heavier. The whole life of Christ was a cross and a martyrdom. And do you seek rest and joy? You err if you seek any other thing than to suffer tribulations, for this whole mortal life is full of miseries and beset on all sides with crosses. And it sometimes gains such strength through affliction in tribulation and adversity by loving to be conformable to the cross of Christ as not to be willing to be without suffering and affliction, because it is confident that it is so much the more acceptable to God as it shall be able to bear more and greater things for him. Set thyself then like a good and faithful servant of Christ to bear manfully the cross of thy Lord, crucified for the love of thee. Now we read maybe a third to half of this because it's very lengthy. But it does no good for any of us to cast off and reject the sufferings God sends us. Everyone here knows, I think virtually everyone knows here today, that you go online and you search for a subject or a product, and then people give reviews or comments. That's fine, but not always, because there are people who have no right to an opinion or are very ignorant. So, who could question the enormous value of the book of the Imitation of Christ and these words about the Holy Cross? Well, there are people, and we read it recently. As we have the book, we've had the same book in our hands for almost a half a century. And we never tire of reading from the Imitation of Christ, because the more we read it, we hope it'll bring us the closer to heaven. And this person was commenting, oh, there are some beautiful parts to it, but it's negative. And it talks about mortification and guilt. Oh, okay, that person who's not even a believer knows more than the saints and the angels and God himself. It was actually blasphemous what this person was saying. So be careful and don't, out of curiosity, look at comments about holy things. They're just vain opinions of someone who's virtually always ignorant. Do you know how important it is to have devotion to our Lord crucified, to the cross, the instrument of that crucifixion, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, this beautiful liturgy that was given to us by our Lord, is the renewal of his death on the cross, as you know. And it is the way of salvation. We know a person who will go nameless. They used to come to this chapel about 10 years ago. Very devout. Intelligent. This person knew the Catholic faith. This person loved serving the Mass, being around the priest, especially Father Ward. And then evil sneaked into his life. Abandoned everything. Stopped coming to Mass. Lost his faith. Lost his way. The people were praying for him. Praying for him every day. People among all of you, they prayed. Nothing's happening. And then about a month or so ago, some great evil, and I cannot go into details, entered his life, and it frightened him. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. So he sought help from non-Catholic counselors, advisors, whatever. And this one person who seemed like a good person, but not Catholic, not a devout, said, "You need to go to Michael the Archangel." And he was struck. Struck to the heart, struck to his soul. I remember St. Michael. And he contacted us. And through help, he was able to start his road back to God. He put a crucifix in his room. And he felt protection from the evil spirits. Because God doesn't forget us. And that's why we will speak about the guardian angels. Today is the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. So it is an extension of Michaelmas Day, which is the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel, the dedication, as it's called, of St. Michael the Archangel, the church. And Father McMahon spoke about this great protector of ours on his feast day on Thursday. Now, the belief in guardian angels is universal. Did you know that? It's not just a pious belief of traditional Catholics. Wrong. Do you know that belief in guardian angels is from the very beginning? The chosen people, the Hebrew people, always believed in it. There are references to it throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Non-Catholics believe in guardian angels. Lutherans, Methodists, Zoroastrians. Do you know that even Satanists, who are on their way to hell and they are enemies of God, but they say they believe in guardian angels. They believe that each person has a protecting angel. So how much more should your devotion be and your attachment to your guardian angel? Now, St. Jerome, you know about St. Jerome. His feast was just this last Saturday, yesterday, or day before yesterday, on Friday. Over 1,500 years ago, he was a master theologian. And he was commissioned by Pope St. Damasus to retranslate the whole Bible into the Latin Vulgate, the correct Latin, because all by hand, there's no printing press, so it had to be rewritten. So he did that. And he said, every person, once they're born into the world, they're given a guardian angel. And it has been believed universally that all the faithful, meaning faithful members of the Catholic Church, all have a guardian angel. But other theologians, and this is the universal belief, is that every person who's ever lived receives a guardian angel as soon as they're born into the world. Do you remember the story of St. Peter when he was in prison? He was in jail for what he believed in. Solitary confinement and worse. It was a pit in darkness and filth. And the Christians were praying for him because God still had more work for him to do. It says the Christians, and this is in the Acts of the Apostles, they're praying constantly for his release. And so, as you know the story from the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, he was asleep. And an angel came and says he kicked him. Get up. And the angel led him out of the jail, which was filled with guards, and all the shackles fell from him, and they walked out of the prison and walked out of the gate of that area. And St. Peter thought he was having a dream because it was so remarkable. And he went to the nearest house of Christians to say he was there. He knocked on the door. And one of the servant women named Rhoda opened the door and was shocked to see him. And she slammed the door in his face. And the Christians in the house, they said, oh, after hearing that she said, I saw St. Peter, the people said, oh, she must have seen his angel. That's what the Christians said. She must have seen his guardian angel because they knew every person has an angel. It is believed the angel that comforted our Lord in the agony in the garden when he was suffering for all of us, that was his guardian angel. Guardian angels not only protect each one of us, but they protect others in other ways. It is believed piously that priests have a second guardian angel to help them on their way to heaven, to help them in their duties to save souls. It is believed that cities, countries have guardian angels. There are references in the Old Testament about the guardian angels of different countries, one of the Jewish people and of the pagan nations who were in disagreement, and that because God only revealed so much to them, so there was a dispute. Because the guardian angel of the pagan nation was trying to do whatever is possible to lead the people he's responsible for to God. Why did God give us guardian angels? Because it is the mind of God to, when he created, to create a hierarchy. And get rid of, out of your mind, any negative thoughts about the word hierarchy. Because there is a hierarchy in reality. God is at the very top. He created everything. He created hierarchy among human beings, among the animals, among the angels. Not everyone is equal. Angels have an angelic nature, and they have a soul, but they have no bodies. Human beings are creatures created by God with a body and a soul, made in the image and likeness of God. Animals God created. There's clearly a hierarchy among them. They have souls. Did you know that? Animals have souls, a life force. But it's not a rational soul. It's a sensitive soul. It just keeps them alive, and it ceases to exist once they die. So there is a hierarchy. God wanted angels. Angelus means a messenger. They take grace and messages and, say, information from God to each of us. That's what the angels are for. When we have a devotion to the angels, St. Michael the Archangel, you can pray to him for extra help against the evil spirit, against Lucifer. You can pray to St. Raphael, another archangel, for health, because that's what his name means. Raphael means medicine or health of God. And Gabriel, St. Gabriel the Archangel. What a mission, what a perfect example of following God's will. He was given the mission to announce the incarnation of the Son of God to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have a devotion, our community, to St. Gabriel the Archangel, because right inside that door there, right inside the drape, on the right side is an image of St. Gabriel the Archangel kneeling before the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that tells you your guardian angel will help you to have a proper, devout life, imitating the Blessed Virgin Mary. Some say St. Gabriel was her guardian angel. The guardian angels have a great love for each one of us. A personal love for each, your guardian, for you personally. One of tenderness. To guide you throughout your life. They are at your side, whether you believe it or not, or acknowledge it. They are always at your side, right nearby. They watch you throughout the day. And when temptation comes, especially from fellow angels, but ones that are, have turned against God, the devils, they are there to protect you. But it is still your decision. You have a free will. So how are we to be helped? How do we know what to do? You have to pray. Pray to your guardian angel. Guaranteed, whenever you're tempted, you say, guardian angel, protect me right now. I need help. Get this person. Get this thing. Get this situation out of my life and protect me. Help me to be faithful to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Lead me back to God. You'll be protected. But if you don't ask, if we don't ask, then we're failing. Because our Lord tells us to ask that we may receive. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. So ask, pray. It is so simple, but we are so ignorant, we forget. And that's why our Lord has compassion on us, because we forget. We get distracted. But our angels are there to help us. Now, recently, in the last few weeks, there's been an effort by the generosity of some of you here and some people who used to come to Mass here, but they're in other states. They watch us online. And you don't know how much they go to help people who are not physically in this chapel. The time they spend for years sending the message, the sermons, the live stream, the e-blasts, all in the background. I found out just yesterday from Father McMahon that there's a woman that was baptized by Father Ward many, many years ago. And she is, without anybody really knowing, she's the one that does so much work putting information on social media. For when you can't come here, and for all the poor people who can't come to this Mass. The latest effort is to make these short videos to put on Instagram and other platforms. So this was Friday evening. And the last thing we'll say is that usually Friday evening, most of us come to the chapel if we don't have other obligations to say our prayers. Pray before the Blessed Sacrament. So I came to Father Ward because I help him. We help him to the chapel. And he said, I'd like to do something. I'd like to make a short video And we're going to do it in the oratory, the little chapel in our residence. And I want to speak about the use of candles for those when they receive extreme unction. Just a few minutes. Well, I have to say this. I was just, one of the seminarians is doing the filming. It was about 5 minutes. I was literally astounded. Because the words and the devotion and the piety coming from him was just very moving. And he said, remember to pray to your guardian angel, because he was showing in the video there are angels on either side of the altar, there are statues. And he said, never let it happen that you do something that would make your guardian angel blush and be ashamed of you. Be careful. And I think that video is going to be available soon, if not, it is already today. But it was just a beautiful, we can call it a sermonette. And I was impressed, but it just was moving. Because the last thing we'll tell you is just because we are in this community and we're heard 99% of the time, we have to face the world as you do. It's different. But we are trying to follow exactly what our Lord and the apostles did to help save souls in the midst of persecution and attacks. That's why we're just doing our duty when we bring the Blessed Sacrament to those who cannot come to Mass. That's doing our duty. Who helps the priest visit the sick? Extreme unction and viaticum. It's his guardian angel, giving him the strength to persevere, forge ahead, follow his duty. That's exactly what he does for all of you, whatever it is. That's why, in case anyone forgets, it was your guardian angels, all you young people, the children, who came to the catechism classes yesterday, the first class of the year, the most we've ever had. This is a beautiful thing. They're all coming because they want to learn about God. They want to learn how to pray. They want to get to heaven, just like all of you. May God bless you.